Allow me first to give a couple quick announcements. The first one is, I forgot to print the bulletin. It's during the night. I didn't realize it was Sunday. So I promise I'll print it and I'll try to send the email today. So just make sure that you pay attention to your email. The other one I would like to, rather than thank everyone who has been helping with the Holy Week, which has been a great effort and there has been many people helping out, you know, I won't say their names in respect of their modesty, but these are people that have been sacrificing a lot for the church. Rather than thanking them myself, which would mean very little, I would like to assure you all of the blessings of God. Those, all of you who have been working, cleaning up, setting things up, practicing in the choir, all the other things that you have been doing, I assure you of the blessings of God for all your efforts. Today, the epistle is taken from the Apostle St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough, as you really are without leaven. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the doorway of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Please be seated. My dear friends, a blessed Easter to all of you. Today I did something that I usually don't do, and I did it on purpose. I didn't prepare my sermon. I took advantage, you could say, I abused a little bit of the confidence that I have with all of you, and I thought to myself that I would rather give a more familiar talk, as I would talk to a friend sharing my joy for Easter. Indeed, all of you here are my family. We're all family. Because precisely today, on Easter time, during these holy days, we were all begotten by the same Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. We were all given the same Mother, our Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, we're all not perfect. We might all not share the same qualities or the same vices. But all of us share one thing in common. We are here, united on this, or under the same roof, trying to save our souls in spite of our faults, our defects, our sins. We are indeed the best family that we could have because we share what's more important, the view that is the most significant, our faith. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, and I wanted to bring to you this thought. Consider that our Lord didn't rise for himself. Let me explain what I'm saying. Jesus Christ, our Lord, after having died on the cross, he could have risen again and gone to heaven, and he didn't need to tell us. If this was just for his glory, he could have done all those things, go up to the glory of the angels, enjoy his glory, be received by his Father, bring all the prophets and all the saints, talk to our Blessed Mother even. He didn't need to let us know. But why did he let us know? Because his resurrection, as his crucifixion, was also for us. It was a way of telling us, "I forgive you, And not only that, I restore you. And that is, my dear friends, that is one of the most beautiful things that I find in our faith. Me, by myself, having been, I could say with freedom, a sinner in my past life, one of the most beautiful things that I found in the church, in the Mass, whenever I would come to the Holy Week, and being a sinner, I would weep in front of the crucifixion and ask our Blessed Mother, bring me away from all these bad things that the world gives me. The most beautiful thing was to think that I could go to confession, shed my tears in there, make a good purpose of amendment, and it was true that tonight on the Easter week, when I would feel those drops of water in my head, I could be restored. There was a good chance, a new chance for me to renew my life, to be good, to stop sinning. And that is an amazing thing, and we barely ever consider it, that God tells you, at any moment, it's so easy for you to say, I want to change. And he restores you. It's not like Luther said. Luther, the evil man, he said, your sins are never forgiven. They are covered. But the filth is there. Your sins are hidden by Christ. But the filth is there. Wicked men, diabolical. No, your sins are gone. They are destroyed. Jesus Christ gives you a new life, the life of grace. You are a new man, reborn. And that's why today, when you do the renovation of the baptismal promises, that's what you're doing. You're saying, I wish, I want to renew that thing that I did in baptism. I want to be reborn for our Lord Jesus Christ, for God. Now, my friends, there is one thing that I will speak to you very often. Get used to it. I'll never let it go. I can never let it go. The only way we can truly enjoy the things of God is if we give up the world. And I say it again and again and again. We have to give up the world. But Father, we live in the world. I know. But Father, we have so much people around us. I know. But Father, it's so entertaining. I know. But the thing is, if you come to Mass on Easter Sunday and you find your joy to be very little and you find your taste for the things of God not very trained, you could say, then you need to give up the world. That's why you're not tasting it. Let me give you an example. If you go to one of those restaurants, I don't like those restaurants because they give you very little food, but let's go to one of those restaurants that are very expensive where they give you an incredibly well-done cake, where they put all kinds of exotic ingredients, ingredients that come from Africa and China. There's like 50 ingredients in this cake. The baker took 4 years of college to do it. It costs $400. You get this much. But when you taste it, you taste all those things, right? What happens? If right before you take that cake, you go and buy a cake from Walmart, no offense to Walmart, and you stuff your face with it, all that sugar, all those cheap ingredients, you stuff your face with that cake, and then you come to eat the expensive cake. You ladies who know about these things, you tell me what happens. You don't taste anything. The flavor from the cheap, the bad things, the flavor from the junk food, ruined your taste buds, and now you are unable to taste what is really good. Well, why all this long example? The world is junk food. The world is sugar. It's soda. It's those things that ruin your spiritual taste buds. And so what happens is, if I go to the world and I listen to the world and I entertain myself with the world and I give myself to the world and I taste and taste and taste things of the world, when I come to God, my taste buds are ruined and I taste nothing. And the quietness of a Mass, the devotion of a rosary, the silence of our Lord, the deepness of the thoughts, the beautiful rewards of Scripture mean nothing to me because my taste buds in my soul are ruined. So, Father, why do you insist so much for us to give up the world, to control it, to put a stop to it. My friends, I do it because I want you to enjoy this beautiful gift that our Lord gives us, this spiritual cake, you could say, of all the beautiful things that our Lord gives us in our church. Easter is a time of joy, is a time of happiness. And during Lent, I hammered on your heads, contrition, contrition, be sorry for your sins. But why did I do that? So that by being sorry for your sins, you could enjoy these beautiful things of Easter. Just as much as you made an effort, I hope, during Lent to be sorry and to have contrition, now during Easter, make an effort to rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord. Our Lord rises again from the tomb. The angels come, the saints, Mary Magdalene, all of them, those pious ladies, like the pious ladies here that come to visit our Lord when he's alone. Those pious ladies are there, and they are the first ones to rejoice. Their taste buds were well trained. They rejoice, and they are filled with all the gifts that our Lord gives them. My dear friends, today during this Easter, I want to make the sermon short. During this Easter, I want to encourage you, come and receive all the gifts from God in abundance. Be generous to yourself. How many of you go to confession? I know that all of you do at some point. How many of you do often? How many of you come to a daily mass during the week? How many of you read the scriptures or read Lives of the Saints? How many of you spend time alone with this good friend, the best friend you could have, the one that loves you the most? It's in silence, yes. It's not as entertaining as the world, yes. But it fills, it gives you life, and it loves. He loves you. How many of us take these gifts? Our Lord comes during his resurrection with, you know, as they represent him with the flag, with the cross, but his hands filled of treasures for you. And he's just saying, come and take them. I remember this one time in college, we went to a conference. There must have been 2,000 students in there. And I might have said this before. The whole conference, I don't remember. It was like 2 hours. I don't remember anything of it, except for this one moment. This great teacher came to give us a small talk, maybe 5 minutes before the conference began. And I say this man was a teacher. He wasn't just a giver of information. He wanted to form men. So that's a teacher. He came and he stood in front of the 2,000 students, all of us sitting, all of us damaged already by screen time. That means computer and cell phones and such. There were no cell phones, but computers. And he stands up and he says, he grabs a bill, a 500 pesos bill, and he says, who wants this? Silence. Who wants this? And we're all thinking, what is he going for? Some guy in the middle of the crowd gets up, walks slowly. Nobody else walks. Nobody else says anything. He walks, he takes the bill, and he goes back to his place and puts it in his pocket. And the teacher said to us, of 2,000 men, only one came for it. I ask you for anything. I ask you for nothing. I put no conditions. I put it up here. No one stood for it, but that guy. And he said to us, that's a winner. What are the rest of you? Ouch. But my friends, this worldly example applies spiritually as well. Our Lord is raising to us this treasure, and he says, who wants it? Few. Of many thousands, few. Today, I hope that you, as my family, that we all start coming more to our Lord, and we take these gifts, and we are reborn, and we restore our lives, and we come to the sacraments not out of custom, faithfully, lovingly, knowing that it's a person. Your religion is bound to a person. It's not an idea. It's not a custom. You're not here sitting in the pews just because you had to come on Sunday. You came here because there is a person that you love, that came back to life, died. You wept for his death. And now he's here for you. It's for a person that you come. It's a person that you see. It's a person that you love. And it's a person that will receive you when you die to bring you into his home, the home of his Father. Today, as we continue with Mass, then, we pray to our Lord that he restores our lives during this Easter. He gives us the graces. And that we are, not one, but 2,000 of us coming to him and saying, I want this gift, the gift of your eternal life. I will take it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.